Blog Talk Radio.
You're in the Geek Zone!
Yes, you are. Hi, everybody. Gary Barrett here, and this is going to be an interesting broadcast that we are going to be doing today. not sure how this is all going to work out yet. Not sure how this is going to go down, but we're going to give it a shot and see if we can't make things work. I'm having all kinds of fun. Number one, got delayed in coming in. I was out doing the grocery shopping and got delayed about an hour getting back here. So I'm an hour behind, so I'm playing catch-up in doing that. It takes a little time to get all the stuff put together here, so if you can bear with me for just a minute, I want to make sure that we have everything going and doing well. Looks like that's doing okay. And let's flip over and make sure that we have... Okay, the broadcast is not able to reach the FPS requested. That's odd. Let's see here. Any rate, we have a phone number that's here. This is the program that is designed to give you an opportunity to either vent about technology issues, ask questions about technology issues, or tell us what you think about new technology and devices. So we have a phone number that's available for you. It is 888-688-4335. Again, that is 888-688-4335, otherwise known as 888-688-GEEK. That is the number that is available for you. And you can be a part of all of this just by getting in and letting us know what's on your mind. So we're anxious to hear from you. There have been a lot of things that have been going on in the technology world. Let's see if I can pull up all of my notes here. I apologize for not being as organized as I would like to be. Unfortunately, I'm like I say, I'm a little on the behinder side here. So for those of you who are watching us on Iowa.tv, we thank you for doing that. It's always a lot of fun. Let's see if we're going to have to. I have to do one thing here with the video feed. Is the looks like the computer was giving me heck. So let's try this again. And that's what happens when you have a dog in the background. You hear nothing but dog. Okay, so let's see. We got OntoVV6, aspect radio, target bitrate. And let's see. Default input device is Realtek. And let's see. Desktop. Mouse preview. Okay. And let's see. Now, if I do this right, it should work for me. Looks like we're doing well so far. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. This is what happens. You know, this is not one of those polished podcasts. If you're listening in the podcast mode on Blog Talk Radio, nor is it one of those broadcasts that, and like I say, we haven't had a lot of time to promote this in advance. But you can call us at, again, 888-688-GEEK or 888-688-4335. And then when you hear the prompt, just go ahead and I'm going to have to pause for just one second and yell at my dog. Okay, that's done. That didn't take long. Oh, mercy me. any rate, 888-688-GEEK is the telephone number, 888-688-4335. And if you're watching this live on Iowa.tv, we do have a chat room that's available for you as well. And to do that, all you have to do is to basically go to the All right, let's try this again. Oh, my goodness. It's trying to do something that it's not supposed to do. That's interesting. So let's try this again. We're having all kinds of fun here. Let me see. Video, target frame rate, 25. Quality, 199%. Let's try that. See if that doesn't fix it. Okay, we'll try it now and see if we actually get video. Ah, I'm there. Hello. And is it going to show me? Looks like it's trying to. I'm getting some really funky bitrate readings here, so that's interesting. Anyway, we do have the chat room open for you. We do have the phone lines that are available for you, and you can talk to us, and we have the opportunity to chat about a lot of things that are going on in the old news today. Of course, technology-wise, there's been quite a few things that have been happening these days. Let's see, I need to get rid of that and go to technology news in my links. I started working on this earlier today and then ended up having to install a brand new camera, which you're seeing, much better resolution. It's gives us a better feed, gives us a digital feed. So we put that in today instead of maybe spending all the time that we normally would have spent on collecting links. It looks like a couple of things that have been going on. Looks like Yahoo has a chief of technology who is going to step down from the job. Their chief technology officer and head of O Products is stepping down. Art Balog, I believe it is, leaving for personal reasons and will remain with the company till June 3rd. Replacements expected to be named in the coming weeks, according to the company. By the way, in all of my delays, I had bought some Ben & Jerry's ice cream, and I'll be darned if I'm going to let this turn into soup without me having eaten some of it. So you'll excuse me if I indulge today, but I'm not going to let this go to waste. And you can't refreeze Ben & Jerry's ice cream. It just doesn't happen. He joined the company apparently in February of 2008. And Yahoo says that because of a situation with his family that he described as difficult, it had driven him to make some changes. Well, okay. That mean your wife says you can't play anymore? I don't know. That was rude and crude, and so I apologize for that. Let's see. Other technology news. The Wall Street Beat. This is from Business Week. An article that was put out yesterday on their website, says that the launch of the iPad helped propel technology stocks this week on optimism that consumer demand will be strong this year, according to analysts. How I love Ben & Jerry's ice cream, but it is mega messy. So those of you who get the video are going to get to see how a triple treat. You get to see the big guy scarf down Ben & Jerry's ice cream. I know that's what you were really looking forward to today, is seeing me as I scarf down Ben & Jerry's ice cream. But, you know, effluvia occurs. And I digress. Also, it says here that the iPad launched a great fanfare that helped propel technology stocks this week on optimism that consumer demand will be strong this year. This was by Thursday. The iPad had already reached sales of 450,000 units, and that's according to Steve Jobs in a press conference, and beating analysts' first week sales forecasts of between 200,000 and 400,000 units. And it says that excitement over the new device is one reason stock market watchers say that technology stocks have outperformed the broader market so far this week. And it says that Apple's market capitalization by its value based on its share price times all outstanding shares was $217.59 billion as of the end of trade on Thursday, compared with $208.17 billion for Walmart. So Apple finally beat out Walmart. I'm sure Steve Jobs is just tickled to death that he's finally defeated Walmart. I don't know. I just noticed that. Let's see here. Intel demos software that reads your mind. That's the CNET News article. Maybe I should flip to one of these articles so that let me see if I can duplicate this website. Can I pull that tab loose? It is, after all. Not going there. Okay, it's not going to do it for me. But it looks like at Intel's Tech Heaven event in Manhattan on Wednesday, the company demonstrated software under development that can, under very controlled circumstances, tell what a person is thinking by reading brain waves. Believe it or not, I think this was, pardon me for moving the microphone and all that inherent noise, but I think this is, we actually saw, if you watched House this week, you kind of saw a little bit of what they were talking about. Or was it last, if you watched it, I think it was an episode a while back where they had done some studies and they mapped the brain, and with certain responses, they were saying that they could tell exactly what the person was dreaming about. Well, I got to get this microphone replaced. That's just getting ridiculous. There. Okay. There. No more hum. There, I'll turn that. I've had a fan on because it's been really, really warm. So it says here that though still in the early research stages, the technology looks promising to researchers. In a preliminary test conducted by Intel Labs, senior researcher Dean Pomerleau, the system scanned a person's brain to record its activity while showing the person certain words, specifically concrete objects like barn, house, and screwdriver. The scans revealed that some words produced a very similar pattern of brain activity, while other words generated quite different levels of activity. Hmm. And it says the software uses those similar and dissimilar patterns to decipher what the brain is thinking. It's going to show you a bunch of pictures, see how you react as contrasted with everybody else around you, and then determine, let's see here. Determine what's going to be, you know, what's on your mind, so to speak. I don't know. I think it's interesting. It's curious at best. But, you know, curiosity did kill the cat, so you got to be careful of these things. What in Dickens is going on here? I just had my computer go nuts on me. See, this is what happens when you start doing stuff and you're not prepared, and I'm not happy about this. Okay, give me the tab. There. I want the tab. It's being there. Okay, so now I'm going to show you show you an article in CNET that I find personally very interesting, just by its very nature. It says here that Apple strikes back at Google with iAd, and this was the thing that most of the tech geeks did not talk about at the there was, of course, a there we go. Get that out of the way. There was a conference that tech journalists were invited to, and this is what Steve Jobs decided to bring out. Everybody hoped that there would be a new version of the iPhone that would come out. That it didn't come out, or perhaps a new Mac piece, you know, MacBook. That didn't come out either. What they did announce was this: the strategies to give iPhone developers and corporate marketers a way to incorporate sophisticated and compelling ads on iPhone applications by allowing them to build an application within an application. So it's like providing a very extensive it's like providing animated pop-up ads. I mean, it's not exactly, but what they're trying to do here is Apple does not want to use, and is fighting tooth and nail against using Flash to any extent. Excuse me. And as a result, they are... they're coming up with this to sort of combat what Adobe has been putting up. And it says here, this is the thing that interests me the most. Every review I've read about this, and let me just make this big enough so you can see what I'm talking about. But it says users probably aren't going to like it. Developers struggling to build businesses around free apps will. Meanwhile, Google is putting a rosy face on it, saying this is more evidence of how quickly mobile advertising is growing and growing. And let's see, the Federal Trade Commission is gearing up to block Google's acquisition of AdMob, which is a company that Jobs says he'd like to buy. So I don't know. We'll see. Looks like there's yet another war between Apple and Google that's taking place. Well, we're here to answer any questions you have about technology. Obviously, technology today is something that befuddles us, makes us angry, sends us to all kinds of crazy. If you have technological comments, questions, suggestions, ideas, you can reach us a couple ways. We have the chat room, and that's all you have to do to reach the chat room is if you're on iowa.tv watching us live, you just click on the chat button, and the drop down is automatically there, so you can just join right in and ask your question there. You also can call us 888-688-GEEK. That's 888-688-4335. That's the telephone number. We have several lines here, so we'll get to you just as quickly as we can. This is a one-person operation today, so if you call in, you may be on hold for a minute or two before we get to you, and we'll try to get to you just as quickly as we can. The other way that you can send us comments or questions is you can send us an email, iowatv@gmail.com. That's EYEOWATV, all one word, EYEOWATV@gmail.com. That's the simplest way to get a hold of us. If you need to get a hold of us with any questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, whatever happens to be on your brain, that's the way you can do that. So it's a very, very simple proposition in order to be a part of our broadcast here. The other thing is, let's see here. Nobody's in the chat room yet. I'll say hello. These are our initial broadcasts, and they're going to be a little quiet, so we'll try to fill that time with things that I'm interested in, and I think you will be as well. Technologically speaking, we've had a lot of things that have happened. Let's see. I'm going to go into my delicious links here and let you take a look. I did manage to pull some things up a little earlier. Let's see. A lot of people have been talking about with the advent of the droid, the Android devices, and with the – oh, my gosh, my screen is dirty. With is the idea of multi-touch. And, I've kind of thought that term has been used way, 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 way too much. But there is an article – this is an interesting interesting website called Instructables.com, and they have here how to build a multi-touch surface. And probably the biggest question a lot of people have is what is a multi-touch surface? What are you talking about when you're telling me about this multi-touch thing? Well, it says that a multi-touch surface is essentially a giant touch screen that can process multiple touches at once, and in our case, a virtually unlimited amount of touches. So you see there, he's got the screen going and doing the thing, and he's telling you how to build a multi-touch screen. So we go to step two. How does it work? It says there's a variety of different technologies that can be used to create a multi-touch surface. I think this is kind of neat. Sort of begs to have a YouTube video associated with it. But there's all the diagrams. If you've ever wanted to know what multi-touch is all about, the third instruction is build a computer. And then I just lost the link. How about that? You don't need to build a computer specifically for the project. In fact, any recent computer with a decent processor and a graphics card should work well. Essentially, what the Androids are and the iPad with multi-touch is you have the ability to do things like, you know, squeeze to get the zoom. Squeeze to zoom, is that what the official term is? And finally, there is one included application on the Droid where you can do squeeze to zoom. It came with the latest update, so I'm glad that they're finally, you know, letting us use the technology that we've been, you know, drooling over for so long. It's in the gallery. So when you squeeze to zoom, probably won't be able to see this very well. I'm going to take a picture. Let's take a camera picture. And I'll turn it sideways so it's bigger. So there's a picture. I can make it bigger just by squeezing and pulling it out, bigger or smaller. So I don't have to find some device. I can just squeeze it to make it smaller or spread my fingers to make it larger. And it is pretty infinite in how big you can make that picture. And then you just do this to bring it down again. So that's what we're talking about. One of the things we're talking about multi-touch. The other thing is, and the best way I've heard people refer to it as the Minority Report screen, where you do this, you know, and you pull things one right after the other. That's the Minority Report screen. And, you know, this is kind of a neat application, actually, if you look at what I'm pointing at here. For those of you watching the video feeds, there's a very ugly picture of me sitting there on my droid. But the idea is you have a multiple number. I didn't realize there were that many of me in there. You have a multiple number of each of images that you can scroll through this way. Then when you find one that you want and it brings it up, again, you can make it bigger so that you can focus in and you just move it around. So you see I'm touching all over the place and it's responding to what I wanted to do. This happens to be a picture that I gleaned from a website dealing with healthcare issues. And that was a protest by SEIU. But you see that the pictures are very clear on these. But I'm very grateful that they put that multi-touch application in with the newest update. And Verizon sent me an email to tell me they did it, which even surprised me as well, that they actually did send me that. I was amazed at least on in that regard. So as I mentioned, multi-touch is starting to creep upon us. Microsoft tried to put out sort of a multi-touch Surface, which looked really nice, but was really, 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 really expensive, and nobody really wanted to go there. And as a result, you know, you're going to spend $2,500 to have a coffee table that is kind of cool because when you set a glass down, there are ripples that come out of that. That kind of stuff, just not there. But multi-touch is going to become a part of our life. I think I'm not convinced yet that we're all going to want a touchscreen computer, but I think eventually, as the technology improves, what the iPad and tablet PCs have brought to us, once they can get the speed enhanced, figure out a way to handle typing because it sucks on there, if we can get voice recognition that works like that, I'd buy an iPad in a heartbeat if they could find that. Unfortunately, we haven't yet. So we'll have to see what they can come up with, and hopefully they can come up with something that's relatively useful. Let's take a look at what Mashable brings us today. And this is an article entitled 24 Essential Social Media Resources That You Might Have Missed. And I'm always kind of weary, but kind of enjoy seeing these countdown type articles that they do in Mashable. But sometimes they're good, sometimes they just really suck. Let's see here. So what we're looking at, it says here that another week down, another chance to gather all the social media wisdom from the experts and put it to good use for your personal brand, So they have they're talking about all of these, you know, do you think any of these are right? How a Facebook group helped reunite a band, the top 10 recut movie trailers on YouTube, three ways live events improve online communities, and all of that stuff. It's just kind of interesting. 24 essential social media use resources you may have missed. Let's see. If I can pull this up, I'm just not doing well today. I just thought that's one of those articles that you might want to look up at Mashable.com. The other article I love some of these. These are great. Again, this is from Mashable. Apple employee or Adobe employee, go screw yourself, Apple. And here it is. Apple or Adobe's fired back against Apple's recent ban on building iPhone apps via Flash. As you may have heard, Steve Jobs is on a rampage to ensure that applications are done In the new HTML or the HTML5 IPv5 and not in Flash, saying Flash is just a media hog and he refuses to have applications that actually run Flash run on the iPad. Well, here we're seeing, pardon me, once again, ice cream trying to keep it from melting, not succeeding. In a recent blog post on the Flash blog, Adobe platform evangelist Lee Brimelow goes on the offensive for 7 paragraphs, ripping into Apple's recent change to its iPhone developer program license agreement that only allows for applications to be written in Objective-C, C++, or JavaScript and executed by the iPhone OS WebKit engine. The post was so strong that Adobe asked Brimelow to delete part of it. And what he says here is, this has nothing to do whatsoever with bringing the Flash player to Apple's devices. That's a separate discussion. What they're saying is they won't allow applications onto their marketplace solely because of what language was originally used to create them. This is a frightening move that has no rational defense other than wanting tyrannical control over developers, and more importantly, wanting to use developers as pawns in their crusade against Adobe. This does not just affect Adobe, but other technologies like Unity 3D. This is, while it's unlikely that Brimelow speaks for the entire company, it's still a very powerful attack on Apple. It's a change in tone from a month ago when Adobe told Mashable in an interview that they didn't believe that there was any, you know, bad blood between Apple and Adobe. However, I say it's the last paragraph that's the most striking, because Brimelow, although makes it clear he's speaking as one man, and he says, now let me put aside my role as an official representative of Adobe for a moment, as I would like to make it clear what is going through my mind at the moment. Go screw yourself, Apple. Wow. 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 Oh, man. And I'm sure that Steve Jobs is going to hear about that. I know what happens in the Apple campus, and it'll get back to him in a heartbeat. And the next thing you know, this whole thing will escalate. It will make for interesting discussions, but I don't know. It will be kind of fun to see. I'm curious about all of that. Let's see. Twitter acquired Tweety. You may have heard about that. The our good friends at Twitter have acquired Tweety, the iPhone app and Mac desktop application. Mashable says that Tweety's creator, Lauren Richter, will be joining the Twitter team, and Tweety will be no more. It will be known as Twitter for iPhone. What a boring name. Ugh. Twitter for iPhone. Don't like that name at all. That's kind of dorky. Okay, now I'm going to vent, okay? We're going to take a minute here, and as long as I have the time remaining, I'm going to vent. There is an awards ceremony that is coming up tomorrow, and I'm looking at the Streamy Awards, and who in the bleep came up with these things? I mean, we know that, I mean, there are some people in here that do deserve to be nominated, but I'm curious how many of you, and I'm going to pull up the nominees. This is the Streamy Awards website, and here are the nominees for the Streamy Awards, and some of these are, I don't know. This sounds so inside baseball. For example, the Best Comedy Web Series, Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. Never heard of it. I guess I'm not hip. I don't know. The Guild, The Legend of Neil and Wayne Days. Come on. I'm not sure about these. Any of you watched any of these? Angel of Death, Compulsions, A Comic Book Orange. The only shows that I have seen out of this are Kevin Pollak's Chat Show and Dignation and The Totally Rad Show. The rest of these, I ain't looked at. Best New Web Series, never heard of them. Dexter Early Cuts, okay. That's interesting. Let's see. Eli's Dirty Jokes, Homestar Runner, Best Branded Entertainment Websites, Best Experimental Websites, Green Porno, HBO Cube, Audience Choice Award for Best Web Series. Totally Rad Show is the only one out of that that I have watched The Young Turks, but I don't like it. I think that's a political choice there. Let's see. And then they've got Best Star Guest Star in a Web Series. Will Wheaton, Nathan Fillion, Courtney Cox. Best Web Series Hosts are nominated would be Alex Albrecht from Dignation. Kevin Pollak from Kevin Pollak's Chat Show. Best Vlogger, Shane Dawson, who's... His stuff is, I have watched his stuff. It is funny. He does do a great job on YouTube. That's where I watch it. I subscribe to it on YouTube. Best editing in a web series. Best sound design. These all look like so much inside baseball. The only one I saw that was interesting was... were the nominations, as I mentioned, with Alex Albrecht and some of those other people, and Twit.tv, which is probably still one of the websites that gets some of the most views at any given period of time, and is one site that I don't ever hesitate to recommend to people, because it is a great site to take a look at. Okay, that's not what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to do. All right. So there you have. That's my complaint. Is these awards seem to be so inside baseball. I guess maybe next year, if I'm still around, if I haven't shot myself in the foot too badly in these coming days, that perhaps I should, you know, mount a drive to get nominated, one of our shows nominated at least, so that I can brag that I had a nomination. I don't know. It's crazy. I'm not sure that I want to do that. Anyway, let's get some ideas from you, shall we? The phone number is again 888-688-4335 if you're listening to us live on either Blog Talk Radio or on Iowa.tv. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio and you want to see the video, it's EYEOWA.tv. And then all you do is click on the Iowa TV Live button that's at the in the top banner. Take you right to it. You don't have to click on anything else. The live video is there. And hopefully you'll enjoy what y'all see. Because we do want you to enjoy what you're saying. And let's see. I'm not seeing anything. I wanted to check the chat room because I didn't want the chat room to feel left out. sorry, guys. I didn't want you to feel left out at all. No, not at all. But just remember that it's real easy to get into us. You just call us toll-free, 888-688-4335, and then press the number 1. If you're listening to us on a live basis, you can participate. We're going to try to spice this up in the weeks to come by bringing some guests and bring some special topics. Tonight, I even had some things that I wanted to do. However, with what happened, I'm... I'm very upset because for reasons that I didn't have any control over, I ended up, coming here, being in here at like 10 minutes before the broadcast, and I don't like to do that. I like to be here about an hour early and get everything set up, but I also like to eat. So, those are two important things to me, and as long as I can be on and we keep our time so that you know that we're going to be here on a consistent basis, I'm happy with that. Okay, back to stuff. Let's see here. This is from the NewYorkTimes.com. They have an article that's by Sharon Mackey, and it talks about 10 simple Google search tips. And it says here, number one, use the site operator to limit searches to a particular site. And there, it's basically, you can use, so what you do is you just put in, up in the bar up here, you put it up at the top of the screen, you type in site, and then, to limit to particular sites. That's all you have to do. The other tool that I use too is use Google as a spelling aid. The reader that you just put a word into Google and it'll tell you if you spelled it correctly. So if I go over here and I go to Google itself, or if you're like me and you have Chrome as a browser, I'm gonna see about the word cheat, okay? And I'm gonna type in cheet. Doesn't look like that's right. I mean, it comes up with Urban Dictionary. cheat. That's cheat. Cheese. Cheetos. So obviously that's not correct, but that is up. There's those dang streaming awards again. Doggone, I got to get rid of that tab. But it is a good idea. The other thing that you can do is it shows here is you can use the operator define if you want definitions. So, for example, here it shows define parasympathetic, and then it gives you definitions over relating to the parasympathetic nervous system, and it gives you a link to that, or the cranial and whatever of the nervous system. So there you can see it actually do work, and it worked fairly well. I'm very pleased with that, as contrasted with cheat. But those are two things that I use. The other thing is time. It says time in San Francisco. So all you do is you go into Google, and again, if you have Chrome, you just type it on the top, obviously. But I'm going to type time, New York City. And there you go, right there at the top. Tells me it's 8:43 p.m. Saturday Eastern Daylight Time in New York City, New York. So that one is real easy. The other thing is to do conversion. I take that back. I did use this once because I was doing something on eBay and I wanted to, it was buying from somebody in Hong Kong and I wanted to convert. So, and let's see, oh, I didn't do it right. The 100 pounds in dollars. So 100 yen, 1,000 yen in dollars. Bingo. That's how you do it. 1,000 Japanese yen equals $10.72, according to the current conversion rate. That's what Google will allow you to do. I think these are neat things that you can use. The OR operator, I don't use that as much anymore. exclude certain terms just by putting in the minus. So American Idol minus Cowell. So you can lose anything that says Simon Cowell on it. Well, apparently American Idol can't survive without Simon Cowell. The other thing is you can search for specific document types within numerical ranges just by using the ellipsis. Just dot, dot. If you need to know where a phone number is located, just type in the area code. There's a couple of others that I use pretty much all the time. If you want to track a package, and then you can select which one you want, UPS, whatever. But you can actually track it in, if I had a number to type in, I'm just going to type in, and search, couldn't find it. If I had it, if I had set this up a little bit earlier, I would have been able to do it. If you type in track colon, and then you put in the package number, you actually can, you know, there is nothing worse than Ben and Jerry's ice cream that is pure soup. Especially brownie batter. Oh, it's so good. And right now, it is so liquefied. Sigh. Okay. So those are my tips as far as Google is concerned when you use Google. There are a couple of other things that you probably are hearing about, and the neatest thing that I use every day is Google Docs. And this is an application that, like I said, it's to me, it's extremely useful. It is something that I find myself using all the time. I mean, you just sign in with your Google account, and when you do, let's see, I've got not to, I don't want to show you my Google account number or my login information here, but when you sign in, let's see here, to the account. Yeah, here's a bunch of stuff that I have in my, but you can create new documents, presentations. It's got a fairly decent, it's not as rich as PowerPoint, but you can create presentations. You can create spreadsheets. You can create a form. And that is a really neat function. When you create a form in Google Docs, this is really neat because what you do is you, you know, put the title of the question, you know, I guess if I typed it right. And you can, it's a text. You can make it multiple choice, check boxes, choose from a list. And then you click done. And see, this is what it looks like. And then you can email this form to whomever you want. And I put in a sample question too. I can delete that. But if I want to delete that, I take that one out. Okay. So all I have is this one. And I'm going to email this form. You can email it. You can put a note on it. And then you just send it to the person. Now, if I were to I'm going to email this to myself. So I'm going to email this to me. And send. So then when I get my Google Mail, my Gmail, when I open up my mailbox, I get an email that looks something like this, where it says, here's your form, untitled form. I didn't give it a title, so it's just giving me the generic. Your form was created, replies automatic fill in the spreadsheet. That's because I did that. And then here is the email that people would get if you sent it to them. So you put whatever title you put on there, and then it says, what would you like to talk about? Okay, so I'm going to type in old dead dogs and click OK. And it says your response will appear in my spreadsheet. Now, I'm going to go back to Google Docs. And when I look at all items, let's see here. I should be able to see the, there it is, the untitled form. It makes it into a spreadsheet form, and it updates in real time. So you send this out to 150 people, and they send you back the information. It will update in real time, and the way that it updates is in a spreadsheet. And so it's got the timestamp, and then the question and what their answer is. And this is a spreadsheet. So if you're doing polling, this can be done for polling purposes. If you're trying to get information quickly from an organization, this is one quick way to do it, and it updates in real time. If I were to go back and use that same form again, and type in something else, it would update here. There would be another timestamp and whatever answer is provided. So if I go back in here and I say, and I click submit, and okay, it submits it to my spreadsheet. So I go back to Google Docs, to the form, there it is. Ad nauseum. This is something that I'd like to see somebody really, really put to the test using these forms, because you can see how quickly that updated. That was instantaneously. As soon as I clicked on the button, the old internet took the information and put it in right here, and now I got a spreadsheet that I can dork around with. And to me, that's one of those things that is quite incredible to look at, and incredible to put into operation. But that to me is one of the really neat things about Google Docs, that I discovered it kind of by accident, and I already have an application for it. You know, radio stations, TV stations, try to build these elaborate automated systems to collect school closures in the time of severe weather. Well, I'm thinking this is going to be a much better way to do that than to actually have a phone system or some kind of special online application. All you do when there's severe weather is you take your mailing list of all of your school superintendents and you send them this form, and if they have a closure, they send it back to you with the pertinent data, and you can delineate it as much as you want. You can make them specify the county. You can make them specify, you know, their school district, et cetera. And you know that it's secure. You sent the email to those people. That's the only way that they can contribute to that. And as a result, you're making it pretty pretty simple, because then you just you go right to the spreadsheet, and you've got all the information. You know, if this had school district, time, reason, you know, extra information, and then I can just take run it. I can save this as a spreadsheet, and then I can run an application to just import it into my website. So I can real time, I can get updates to school cancellations without spending thousands of dollars to have somebody do it. So an idea that is pretty useful to me, and maybe might be useful to y'all in the future. We've only got a few more minutes left in our program for today. I just want to remind you that we are here for you, and if you have questions or comments or anything else, we definitely want to hear from you. Again, the email address, iowatv@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us. And we'll be happy to answer your questions, to talk about the topics that you want. This is your program that we want you to feel like you have ownership in. Looks like the British House of Commons, according to CNET, has voted overwhelmingly in favor of creating a new law that would enable copyright owners to seek the suspension of internet service for those who are accused of multiple times of illegal file sharing. So if you use BitTorrent or anything like that, if you're in England, you get it's like a three strikes, you're out type of position. They voted 189-47 to pass the Digital Economy Bill to give the country's government the authority to block access to websites suspected of engaging in pirated material. Dangerous. I don't know what you think about this. I'd be curious to get your comments in an email. But I believe number one, that piracy is not right, is wrong. But when you start to allow the government to decide who gets to be on the internet and who doesn't by the basis of a very loosely worded law, and apparently this law just says suspected of engaging in pirated material. So they could block a website if it's suspected of it. It doesn't have to have actually done anything wrong. You're guilty until proven innocent in this case. And I know that the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Artists Industry Association of America have been pushing for these kinds of laws all across the globe. They haven't been successful in the United States. So what they're doing now is they're going to England and France and the European Union, trying to get them to pass it so that they can turn around and tell the congressional Democrats, oh, look, it's in Europe and it's in England and it's in all these other countries. Don't you want to be just like them? And as a result, passed in the United States, so that if you're running the johnsmith.com website and someone accuses you without merit, accuses you of trafficking in illegal items, of in piracy, then they could cut you off. They could block your website from the internet. And that's dangerous. And for those countries, I'm sorry, that's dangerous for you too. While I don't want it in the United States, it's a dangerous trend to set that in anywhere. So I'm a little worried about that anywhere on this globe. I just don't think that we should be walking down that path. I think it's a very dangerous path when we start getting the government involved and giving it the ability to block websites. That comes into content control. Well, we have used up all of our time in this broadcast. Thank you very much for being a part of it. And we'll be back next Saturday, hopefully more organized and hopefully with more of your questions right here on the Geek Zone. I'm Gary Barrett on Iowa.tv. And there you have it. And as soon as I get control of my cursor back, I'll be ending the show. There.